Thank you for listening to the Male Therapist Perspective. My name is Daniel Galarza and I'm a licensed clinician. And I'm here with my wife, Ruby, marriage and family therapist. Today we're talking about fairness in relationships. You happen to be in a fair relationship, am I right?
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yes, I am currently in a fair relationship.
That's good to know.
Yes.
So when speaking of fairness, we're going to break it down into two primary concepts. So let's start with the concept of it being mutual.
Sure. I think for me, when working with couples, but also just seeing relationships around us, the aspect of mutual to me is also synonymous with an agreement, right? So there has to be an agreement in a relationship as to how we treat each other, how we love one another, how we respect one another. We truly have to understand all the nuances that go into these definitions. And so a mutual agreement is what helps create, I think, what we're talking about today, a fairness in relationships.
Right. And it's going to be important for couples to know that when you're working on creating a mutual agreement, that it's going to take time.
Yes.
It could take a few years for you to create that because there are so many aspects about a relationship that need to be addressed.
Yes.
How you communicate with each other, how you want your family to be run, how you want the relationship to look and feel, finances. I mean, you can go down the list.
Right. And I do think also that as individuals we evolve, but also as couples that we evolve. So this agreement has to be reestablished as the relationship grows, as we grow, as our life changes for whatever reason. And I think that's a barrier for a lot of couples is that sometimes they go into a relationship with the assumption that they know what an agreement is or what fairness is or what mutuality is. And then there's no room for growth. They want to stick. They want to be in this little pocket, their whole relationship, but we have to be flexible and able to grow and evolve just like we do in our own personal development.
Right. Which leads us to the idea as to what gets in the way of people creating a mutual relationship. Your unwillingness
right.
to be flexible, to grow in a relationship. That you come in with fixed ideas and you think just because I think this is what a marriage or a relationship should look like, that's what it's going to be.
Right.
And if it doesn't fit you, then therefore there's something wrong with the other person, instead of understanding that we always have to be flexible for growing and evolving in a relationship.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not an unwillingness. Sometimes it's a lack of skill, right? If we do not have the skill sets to adjust to life circumstances, to have flexibility, or the privilege to have been able to experience those opportunities for change, growth, and flexibility, it makes it that much more challenging in an intimate relationship.
So when we emphasize a lot on how we communicate with each other and really focusing on learning how to understand your partner, that it's hard to reach a mutual agreement or understanding when two people can't even sit down and have a productive conversation.
Sure.
When we can't have a simple conversation to understand each other, mm-hmm. then how are we supposed to develop a mutual agreement?
Right.
If instead of understanding you, I judge you
sure.
for whatever things you do or you say,
sure.
then how am I supposed to reach a mutual agreement with how we're going to function?
Yes. And let me take it a step further. If you don't understand the self, how am I going to be able to communicate with you what I feel is fair or what my needs are or where I want change to occur in our relationship? So a lot of what I do with clients is really understanding the self, because if you don't have a clear understanding of who you are, what you need, what makes you happy, what are your triggers, it's going to be very difficult to have a healthy relationship. So my little motto in session is, in order to create a healthy relationship, you have to have two healthy individuals. And now I'm not speaking about being perfect, right? Again, I truly believe that we grow and evolve, and these understandings might also grow and evolve with us. What is fair to me today may not look the same in 5 years. So I always take it back to the individual, because I think we hold a lot of responsibility and should have accountability for ourselves.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that. I also find myself people coming in asking me how they can understand their partners.
Right.
And I instantly redirect them to understanding themselves.
Right.
Let's get to know you and your relationship with your partner.
Right.
And then ultimately, as you understand yourself, you'll get to understand why your partner, you know, is who they are in the relationship.
Or but, how they affect you and why they affect you in a certain way.
Which is ultimately coming back to the idea of how do we create that mutual relationship between two people?
Yes.
If you and I are going to create a mutual relationship, you had to work on yourself. I had to work on myself.
Yes.
When two people get together and are willing to grow and work on themselves and their baggage or whatever good and bad things they bring to the table, then we're going to go somewhere.
Right.
And you have to have a genuine interest to do it.
Yes. And vulnerability to do it.
That's hard for a lot of people.
And that's very challenging for a lot of people.
If you have the right formula where two people can get together and are willing to work for each other, the likelihood of success is high.
Absolutely.
So just keep in mind that this does not include those relationships where one person is putting effort into the relationship. If that happens to be your situation, then you're not likely to reach a mutual agreement, or you're not going to fulfill that mutual agreement because you have one person who's not willing to put in their effort.
Correct. And I think there's so much more to talk about when it comes to fairness and mutuality in a relationship, but this is a really good place to start.
Yeah.
The concept of being able to truly understand the self, each other, and come up with an agreement as to what is going to be the mutual behaviors and norms and values that you create in this relationship.
Yeah. So just to kind of wrap up the mutual aspect of creating a fair relationship, this agreement that is created is constantly evolving. And
absolutely,
that's something you mentioned earlier, that as we grow and evolve and our life circumstances change, we have to be flexible to the rules changing in the relationship.
Absolutely.
And the next component of creating a fair relationship is reciprocity.
Yes.
I know in our relationship, you were the first person, you introduced that word to me.
Mm.
Reciprocity can be a tricky thing to understand because I think for some people, it can feel like a one-for-one relationship. I do for you, you do for me.
Right. So you're describing what you'd call a transactional relationship,
right?
And I learned that term or descriptor from you. A transactional relationship is I have an intention to give in order to receive. Right. So it's not necessarily I want to be a healthy, giving, loving partner. It's how do I get what I want out of this relationship? And what do I have to do to make that happen? And usually transactional relationships, they're very surface oriented. Right. So it's permission to go out, permission to spend money, you know, that kind of surface behavior. When I think about reciprocity, it really is about the nuances of the relationship, right? How am I giving of myself and able to receive in a way that is healthy, loving, kind, respectful? It's based more on the health of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Did that make sense?
Yeah. In the concept of reciprocity, the way I am thinking about it, it's more of a selfless act.
Mm.
So if I can't be selfless in a relationship, then I'm going to have a difficult time having a reciprocal relationship. To be selfless, I think it's hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we protect ourselves. We want to protect ourselves, especially if we've had negative experiences or we just have rigid views about relationships.
Mm-hmm. So a definition out of Oxford Dictionary, right, of reciprocity is the practice of exchanging things with others for mutual benefit. So for me, the idea of mutual benefit, right, it goes back to our first theme, is it's not about, again, how do I get what I want, but how do I create something and give in this relationship that's going to benefit us both? How are we going to create something with the give and take, with the teaching and learning aspects of things that is going to be beneficial not only for us as a couple, but for our life and relationship as a whole? And it's important to understand that it's truly not a behavioral act. And I think a lot of times people think that they have to do things in order to be in a reciprocal relationship, right? I have to wash dishes and they will be okay if I don't take the dog for a walk today. Or, you know, I have to wash dishes so they could wash, you know, the clothes. Or I have to put gas in the car so they could wash the car. You know, these behavioral things. And it really is more about how do we create something that's going to benefit the both of us and how are we willing to give to create that?
You have to be able to look at the big picture, at the long game. I give to the relationship.
Yes.
And ultimately the relationship will give back to me.
Yes.
So I'm not giving, I don't do what I do for you thinking, because then later you're going to have to do something for me.
Right.
If that's the approach I'm taking, that's the one-for-one transactional relationship.
Yes.
I do for you because I love you and I care about you. And in turn, you're going to do for me because you love me and you care about me. And how we do for each other, we tailor it.
Right.
Going back to the mutual aspect of I need to understand what works for you, you understand what works for me.
Yes. It's about the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to see the relationship as an entity in itself. And I think going into what you're describing right now, one important aspect of being able to do this is creating a we-ness. We have to see the relationship as the primary goal, not myself or you within this relationship, right? Because if I'm giving of myself to benefit you, I'm not creating a we-ness. And so let's talk about we-ness a little bit, because I think that's important as an important aspect of how to create reciprocity and mutual agreement in a relationship.
Right, which is part of what gets in the way. I think a lot of people are entering relationships with the idea of how it's going to make them feel.
Sure.
Of this is a relationship I'm in so it can make me happy or make me feel good.
Right.
There's a lot of I this or them that.
Right.
It can go the other way around. I want to make them happy.
Correct.
The concept of we means we're a team.
Yes.
We're in this together. So no matter how I navigate through life, I am a partner to someone.
Right.
What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? What is our decision about how to navigate through life? So that's how I conceptualize the idea of we. And definitely in therapy, I find it a lot that people don't come with that language. They come with a lot of I don't this, they this, a lot of me this, and a lot of they that.
Right.
But I don't hear the we in the relationship.
Yes. And that's, I think, the biggest barrier. For different reasons, I think we go into a relationship with the I or them aspect. Sometimes it could be mere selfishness. Sometimes it's the inability to understand balance in your world. How do I receive and give in a way that is balanced for me? And so, again, I'm going to take it back to the self. You really have to start working on the self and understanding how do I find balance in my life and in my world. If I'm not balanced outside of this relationship, I really cannot create a balanced relationship. And I think that is a very common barrier, right? That I am still trying to figure out my own balance. And that gets in the way of creating that in the relationship.
So if a couple is working on themselves, if they're open-minded to growing,
yes,
and they're open-minded to accepting the influence of their partner, which is an extremely important concept, and you're reasonable about it,
right,
the likelihood that you're going to achieve this reciprocal, fair-feeling relationship increases. However, keep in mind that it's going to take time.
Yes.
That's another part of the issue that I think people in relationships tend to be very impatient.
Yes.
Again, relating to those relationships where people are actually making a legitimate effort and you're not dealing with a person who's so selfish and so stuck that they're not going to grow. Those are never going to work.
Right.
But if the relationship is two people who are making a genuine effort, it will take, I think it could take a few years, you know, before you start feeling like, okay, all the work we put into it has paid off.
Unless you come into this relationship already having done some of the work, right, on the self. And I think those are the relationships where people will look at and say, wow, how was it so easy? How did they find their other person? A lot of times it has to do with the work that you've done on yourself. So I'm going to continue to make that a point when we do speak, because I do think that we need to take ownership for our emotional health. We need to take ownership for what we're bringing into a relationship. I am not saying that you have to be perfect in order to create a healthy relationship, but working on the self is going to be very important.
Right. And I think we speak from personal experience that when you and I took personal accountability for what we contribute to the relationship and who we are as people, I feel that's when the relationship really, really progressed in a much smoother way.
Sure.
So we've discussed this before amongst ourselves that we're coming on 20 years and we're extremely happy. And it's because we worked at it. It's because we earned our way to a happy marriage, not necessarily because we got lucky. And I think that's a misconception that people may have. Oh, look at you guys. You guys are so lucky. It's like, oh, yeah, we're lucky that we found each other, but we earned our happiness.
Absolutely.
So at this point, maybe I can talk a little bit about my perspective as a male. I think a lot of things that might get in the way for us as men is our rigidness. I think sometimes we have this concept that we have to fulfill specific roles in the relationship, and it creates a level of rigidness. And it sounds a little bit like, as the man, I'm supposed to do this. I think when we use language like supposed to, you know, or have to, we limit ourselves. We can't accept, I wouldn't be able to accept your influence if I said, no, that's not my role as a man or as a husband.
Right.
I also think we have to acknowledge the fact that male privilege is a real thing and it exists. And if we have a blind spot to acknowledging that male privilege is a real thing, then we're closed off to growing and accepting the influence of our partners. And I think it plays out in subtle ways, you know, in our resistance to do certain things or to participate in certain aspects of relationships. But I think as men, if we wake up to that, then definitely we can grow and have the kind of relationship that would benefit both of you,
right?
Both people.
I have a question, and I'd like to get your male therapist perspective.
Yes, I am a male.
I'm a therapist.
Correct. That's right.
You know, what I have seen in the office, but outside also in relationships, is that there seems to be a pressure that some males experience in terms of the shoulds that you were just speaking of. Right. So, yes, there's male privilege and we shouldn't say, oh, poor men, they have pressure. But the pressure is there and it's honest and it's real. And we have to also acknowledge that. So can you speak a little bit about how this pressure could probably be a barrier to what we were talking about today?
Yeah, I think it's an unconscious pressure. And I think women have their own pressures, whether it's conscious or unconscious.
I know women have their own.
Maybe, possibly. But speaking from as a man, when I started tuning into this idea that I have to be a provider, when I was younger, when we were in our 20s, I like to believe that I was very progressive and open-minded and I didn't have those ideas. But somewhere deep down inside, I definitely felt the pressure to be a provider, to be the person that kept this household up or that made sure that everyone in this home had what they needed.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I still believe that's the case, but it's more of a shared responsibility. It's not just on me, but definitely very real. And I feel like it exists for a lot of men, that they feel that there's this underlying idea that your role as a man or as a partner is to provide, and that's the primary role. And again, I think it limits us to our growth because we're so focused on this idea of doing for this person. Like, what am I going to do for you? Or what do I have to offer this woman or you? That we lose sight of the fact that in many cases, we're appreciated just simply for who we are. We're gonna make it together.
And it creates stress, right? Not just as in the individual, but in the relationship, right? And I think that's important also to highlight that if we have these unconscious expectations or pressures, they're gonna show up in our relationship. Or these ideas of this is how it should be done, it's going to create stress and pressure on the relationship. So keeping that in mind.
Yeah. So as relationships grow and evolve, and the relationships of today are not like our parents or our grandparents' relationships, they are different. And the expectations are higher. It helps us create a true bond And I think we'd be happier together when we finally learn how to create this idea of fairness or mutual or reciprocal relationship. And I think that's why we do this podcast, to, you know, give people hope and to hopefully give them the tools necessary to create that.
Yes, it can be created.
Right. Well, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
For those listening, I hope you enjoyed the information that you received today. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode or future episodes, you can find me at The Male Therapist Perspective on Instagram. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.